Merger Malfunction.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. A weekend fight has frozen what was about to be one of the largest high-tech mergers in a long time. IBM and Sun Microsystems were going over the final details yesterday for IBM to pay around $7 billion for Sun. It seems there was some haggling over price, and IBM pulled the offer. Shares of Sun Microsystems are down more than 20% this morning. Some big gains today in Asia. In Europe right now, major markets are mostly lower. Wall Street ended on a high note Friday, but this hour, futures are lower. There's a cautious mood out there with the start of first quarter earnings season this week. Delphi officials are in Washington today. The auto supplier will be talking with its creditors, President Obama's auto task force, and its former owner, General Motors. The question is what role GM needs to play at this point to help Delphi come out of bankruptcy protection. Delphi has been operating under Chapter 11 since October 2005. Today's meeting was planned after the Treasury said last week it wanted to take a closer look at an agreement where GM would loan Delphi $150 million if the parts maker went ahead and sold its steering business to GM. Marketplace's Steve Henn is with us now from Washington. Steve, an interesting relationship, to say the least. Why does the government want to block this loan and sale?
Well, they haven't said yet. I mean, and analysts I've talked to have said they're not convinced that ultimately the government will block this deal. But they think that the Automotive Task Force wants to take every opportunity to look at any big deal GM is getting itself into. You know, as you know, Delphi is a key supplier. They make everything for GM, from steering systems to brake parts, even lithium batteries for a hybrid that GM's developing with a joint venture in China. But in many cases, the parts Delphi makes for GM are expensive and not that competitive. And GM said they could save up to $2 billion a year if Delphi really was run well. So obviously, fixing Delphi is a key part of fixing GM.
Well, why can't GM buy parts from someone else?
The problem for GM is that it's really dependent on Delphi. Delphi was a unit of GM until just a decade ago. And while they could get many of these parts elsewhere, some they couldn't. If Delphi collapses, that's going to cause big production disruptions for GM. You know, just missing one crucial part can shut a plant down. And that's what GM's really afraid of.
So what's Delphi's main problem?
Well, in a word, financing. You know, as you can imagine, in this environment, it's tough for anybody to get a loan. It's really tough for an automotive company to get a loan. And then you add to that that Delphi's been in bankruptcy for almost 4 years. No one wants to lend an automotive parts company money right now. I mean, the market is collapsing. In 2007, car companies sold 16 million cars in the U.S. Analysts expect them to sell just half that now. So even the healthiest companies are having problems. And Delphi just hasn't been able to find a lender. Some folks are talking about the government stepping in, and while that's possible, I think the big lesson the government's going to have to draw from this is that pushing any car company into bankruptcy in this environment is a big risk. They might not come out.
Okay, Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, here's sort of a strange but certainly positive silver lining. The bad economy and higher gas prices have led to a decline in the number of people killed in car accidents. Government numbers this morning show just over 37,000 people died in crashes last year. That's the fewest since 1961. Drivers are logging fewer miles, and they're using seatbelts more than ever.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
It's never fun to catch a double dipper at a cocktail party. It can be pretty gross. That stomach-turning feeling is also being described by some lawmakers when it comes to a different kind of dipper. People who retire from a government job and get another job. Sally Herships filed this report.
Double dipping is reaching epidemic proportions in Florida. State Senator Mike Fasano thinks so anyway. He's trying to close a loophole in Florida's retirement law. Right now, some government workers can retire, start collecting their pension, and after 30 days go right back to work. They get paid and they get a pension. They double dip.
They shouldn't be allowed to come back and double dip while we have such high unemployment rates.
The worst thing, Fasano says, is that Florida municipalities are hiring double dippers and cutting jobs at the same time.
We're going to have to lay some people off and at the state government, at the county government, and at the city government. How do you look that person in the eye and say, we're doing away with your job, but we're going to keep the double dipper on?
State and city governments all over the country are hiring double dippers. It sounds controversial, but Max Steyer of the Partnership for Public Service says retirees are often the best candidates for the job.
They've already been trained. They can hit the ground running. They know what the problems are. You know how good they are. You can pick the very best.
Steyer says double dippers can be the cheapest option for municipalities. 2 years ago, for example, he says the State Department brought back retired employees to get through a massive backlog of passport applications.
Now, an alternative would have been for all those people to go work for a contractor and for the government to hire the contractor, and no one would have said boo, but the American people would have been out a lot more money.
Double dipping has attracted legislators' attention in New Jersey, New York, and Alabama. Bob Bain is a lecturer at Harvard School of Government. He says if someone double dips in the private sector, nobody bats an eye. But when public money is at stake, double dippers inspire moral outrage. Bain says that's unfair.
I don't think that people are behaving badly. They are actually behaving in a way that makes sense according to the rules.
Those rules vary widely. Some states have already made it more difficult to collect a pension and a paycheck at the same time. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
You can weigh in on this at marketplace.org. Some new job postings this morning from Sallie Mae. The student lender says it's bringing 2,000 jobs to the U.S. over the next year and a half. It's shifting call center operations and other departments from overseas. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.